Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey, it's Fitz, and if you don't know who I am, here's a quick bio. I'm a veteran sports journalist who writes, does TV, radio, daily YouTube videos, and I'm a longtime podcaster. Also, I have metastatic stage 4 prostate cancer that came out of remission in January. During the 2020 pandemic, my doctors advised me to stay at home, and the Life of Fitz podcast was born. 4 years later, I'm back in my cancer fight and continuing this podcast, calling the many friends, athletes, coaches, and colleagues who I have met throughout my 35 years in this industry. And now I'm adding in some new friends to my call list. And of course, I'm hitting the record button. Welcome to my life and the Life of Fitz podcast. Chris Kleiman arrived at Kansas State in December of 2018 after winning 4 national titles in 5 seasons at FCS level North Dakota State. The athletics director who hired him at NDSU was Gene Taylor, who in the spring of 2017 became the new AD at K-State. Taylor went through the search process following the retirement of Bill Snyder and kept coming back to Kleiman, not just as a coach who would win football games in the Big 12, but as a guy who could definitely handle following the legendary Bill Snyder, fit into the K-State culture, and might settle in at K-State for a very long time. Well, Kleiman is 4 seasons into his time in Manhattan. His Wildcats won the 2022 Big 12 championship, and he just signed an 8-year new contract offered by Taylor that Kleiman says will keep him in Manhattan for the rest of his coaching career. And on top of all of that, Chris Kleiman is one of the nicest head football coaches you will ever meet. In fact, he loves to give me crap during his weekly interviews. And he seems to understand how to navigate these changing times in college football. When he hangs up with us, he will meet with Taylor about some of those very issues. So now, let's call the head football coach at Kansas State University, Chris Kleiman, in Manhattan, Kansas.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Hi, Fitz.
You just go from one thing to another, don't you?
Well, Kevin Ingram.
Yeah.
You know him?
Name's familiar.
Well, he's the president of Manhattan Christian College.
Oh, yeah, that's why. Yep.
Yeah. And then he's kind of our chaplain and stuff here. So he was out of town or out of the country for 14 days, and he came up and grabbed his ring, and I hadn't seen him, so I grabbed him and talked to him for 10 minutes. And then I looked, and I was like, oh, I bet it's close to 10 o'clock. And sure enough, there it is.
Huh. He just got this inner clock.
I don't have an inner clock.
I don't either.
My goodness. Here's what my inner clock is, Fitz. It's how many more years until that clock ticks when I can go lay on a friggin' ass beach and drink a beer.
You're so much alike. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll just have the resources to do so after that last contract. I won't. Nobody's giving me a new contract.
up that subscription price, for crying out loud.
No doubt. No doubt. I guess, I mean, my beach might be Milford and yours might be Bermuda.
Well, I can promise you mine won't be Milford.
So,
how you feeling?
I feel good. I'll be honest, and reminder that we're rolling, that this was the hardest phase I've been through, and it was only three sessions, but I don't know if you have any phobias, but this played on a couple of my worst phobias of being confined and trapped and limited breathing. Yep. And it required a lot of medication to get me through. So, but it was only three sessions. The doc knew it. He made them longer than, you know, he kept them less frequent. So it worked out fine. It was my medical staff's amazing. It's incredible.
Were you immobilized for like an hour?
Well, no. It's a mask that they formed around my face. I had to be medicated for that because they literally stretched this material across your face.
I bet.
And then it fits into this clip thing, and you are actually. Then the mold stops at your shoulders, like it overlaps your shoulders. And they were addressing a neck tumor that has spread there. So it actually clips to the table. You're actually pinned to the table for this. So you're totally immobile with this. What turned out to be almost like a hard plastic mask pushing down on your face, your lips, your chin, your throat, all that.
Yeah.
Not fun, I got through it, and, you know, I got to be honest, I thought cancer would be more fun than this, and it's just, it just hasn't worked out for me. I thought I'd get some superpowers, maybe flying.
Yeah, well.
It sucks.
Man, I'm praying for you every day. Last Friday, a classmate of mine who has terminal cancer in Kansas City, a friend of mine called me, another classmate, and said, get your butt out of that office, and we're going to play golf with Bill.
Nice.
Because it might be his last time he plays golf. And they have stopped treatment on him, tumors everywhere. Yeah. And I sat in the cart with him, and we laughed for 4.5 hours talking about stories from high school. Cried a little bit. I mean, it was a hard deal. Because they've stopped everything on the guy. And he said, I'm not done fighting. I'm coming to a game this year. And I said, you're damn right, Joe. You're going to be on the sideline with us. You're going to be up in the press box. You're going to do everything. But just the strength and the intestinal fortitude of people like yourself and this kid, man, my heart goes out because it's a journey. I know that.
Well, if he's like me, he has his last stand plan, you know, the Alamo. Yep. This is what I'm going to do. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense in a term of modern medicine, but we seem to be seeing some results from it. I'll just say it. It's a dog dewormer that has been used and solved cancer. And if once they tell me we got nothing more for you, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to give this a shot then since you're done with me.
Okay. So he was going to Iowa City for a experimental treatment. And then on his way there, his doctors called him and said, unfortunately, they just stopped the experimental treatment in the United States. Is that normal?
I don't understand our medical, everything our government does. It's just.
So that just crushed him as well. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, it's the spirits. I mean, you just got to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been my big thing. It's just trying to keep up that attitude and spirit because, you know, you're literally living with the devil inside you, and you don't know where all it is, and you don't know how bad it is, and so you just got to try to keep going. But yeah, those things hit extra heavy. That's just crap.
Yeah, it is. So, all right, let's talk more positive.
Yeah, let's do that. Everyone, stop listening. So that'll work out well. Hey, anything big happened in your life in the last 7-8 months?
We won some game that was pretty important around there.
how amazing was that whole, you know, first you had a fight to earn that spot. You put yourselves in a bad position. You had to fight uphill a little bit. You got a break from Texas losing. I mean, just how incredible was that journey last year?
It was incredible. And that's probably what makes it more rewarding is the fact that it wasn't an easy route, and it never is an easy route. And you know, the fact that we did it on the road was what impressed me so much. To be able to win at Oklahoma, to be able to win at Iowa State, to be able to win at West Virginia, you know, to be able to win at Baylor. I mean, we were on the flip side of the schedule where you had to play five on the road and four at home. And we knew that we were going to have to be road warriors. And the one game we lost on the road, I could have told you when we got in that locker room after the game, everyone on the team was pissed because we should have won the game. Yep. But good TCU credit. They played a great second half and we didn't.
They're feisty. You know, I think teams in some ways take on the character of their quarterback. And I thought that was so true for TCU. Max Duggan was just an absolute warrior. The stuff he did in the Big 12 championship was absurd.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of his. Saw him down at the media days in the summer and visited with him a little bit because I just have so much respect for him. And you can tell he is an absolute warrior, and he was everything to that team. And you're right. I mean, that game he played in the Big 12 championship, he never thought there was any opportunity they're ever going to lose that game. Right. And that's what you want from your leader. And, you know, game's a matter of inches. We talked about it this morning with our guys at summer workouts of a matter of inches. And the last two Big 12 championship games have been decided by about 2 inches.
Yep. Yep. That, as a defensive coach, that goal line stand, that had to do your heart good.
It did. For as little a time as we put in, and Klandeman and I talked about this, of how many goal line snaps you really practice, because it just you just don't have it doesn't happen that much. But then to have back to back with your big people out on the field and having to win it with, you know, a goal line stand and bunch of D linemen out there, and you get a kid like Damon Alalio that has to play a play and plays it as good as he can play it and flawlessly, and then, you know, Eli Huggins, that kid's been a warrior here for us for a long time. And what a great way to end your college career if you're him.
Yeah. I mean, Coach, that's a K-State story right there. I mean,
it is.
You got a kid that's in the developmental program that hasn't developed where you need him to be. Maybe he is now, and he'll play more this year, but he wasn't then. And you also got a kid in Eli who also came up and had to develop and turned into one hell of a football player. I mean, that's still K-State.
Yeah, it is. Hopefully they make a movie out of that sometime, because you're 100% right. I mean, that's, hey, it's not my time, but when it is my time and when is my opportunity, I got to make the most of my opportunity so that I'm counted on amongst my peers and teammates. And I'm excited for Damian this year. And you think when I first got here, it was the Drew Wileys, the Trey Deshaun's, and Eli was the third or mm-hmm. even fourth behind Mitty. You know, he was just kind of the extra guy. Hey, get us 12 snaps a game. And, yep, I'm just going to keep doing it, keep getting better, keep playing, and then having the chance to come back for his sixth year. You know, I knew he was going to have that type of a great season, but then to cap it off like he did with the plays he made in that championship game is K-State way, 100% yep. right.
It was as nerve-wracking as a game as I've ever covered. And, you know, when you're up in the press box, you have no outlet. I mean, you're not allowed to cheer. You're not allowed to do anything. And since that day, and this is a true story, I had an extra blood pressure pill in my carry bag, my go bag, and I've moved it to my briefcase to have it in the press box. I thought your team was going to kill me that day, because I'm just sitting there, this is the most incredible football game I've ever covered, and I've covered some great games. This was amazing.
Well, Wyatt Thompson and I talked about this when we were on the Catbacker tour. I wasn't that nervous. I don't think anybody was on the sideline, because you're so locked into the right. game. But I'm like, from a fan's perspective, yeah, I could see that being a roller coaster of emotions. And someday, and I told Wyatt, someday I'm going to sit down and watch that as a fan. And it might be a while to just watch it as it played out as a fan. But yeah, it was one of the best college games I've ever been in, and I've been in some really good ones that have had championship pedigree to them, and I've been some other ones, just really good college games in the regular season, an Oklahoma game or something. But that one, with the stakes as high as they were, was probably the best game I've been a part of.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, from Deuce doing Deuce things in the defense and Will Howard, people yep. still don't respect Will Howard to the level at which he plays. I've seen lists that have him not even in the top four quarterbacks in the Big 12 for this upcoming season. I'm like, what? How's that even possible?
Yeah, I think he was probably the most improved player in the Big 12 last year. I think you'd make an argument of him over anybody else. It's all because of his work ethic and his belief and our belief in him. And the fact that he's a lot of what Max Duggan was to TCU to what our kids believe in that kid now. Right. And I think that's a really tribute to Will, because a lot of the guys that he's played with have seen him struggle. And then to see him come on the other side of it, to know that it didn't just happen. That kid put in the work in the weight room and throwing and in running and film session and being a leader out there, whether he was the starter, whether he was the backup behind Adrian or Skyler, just seeing that kid work every day and not worry about, well, this is what the depth chart says. I'm just going to work and prepare. And when my opportunity comes, I'm going to prove to everybody that the 2 years I had learning, I learned so much, and I'm ready to take that next step. And I thought the kid took the next step. And I know this, and he and I have talked about this. There's more inside of Will Howard. I know there is. There's more in there. And the experience that he gained in 2022, I think, is going to do nothing but help him, whether it's handling adversity to handling success. Because I thought he handled success really well last year on top of it.
Yeah, he did. I got to be honest, when he came in the first TCU game, I had no idea what to expect. You had been telling us he was a very good quarterback, but we just hadn't seen the consistent results of it publicly. Yep. And then he starts just tossing the ball around the field, putting it in tight windows, and you know, maybe there was some good fortune involved there. Maybe he surprised TCU, but all of a sudden he's just wailing on TCU. I'm like, what in the world? This is everything Klieman said, but it more. This is incredible.
Yeah, I guess I saw it as fall camp started to go. You know, he took all the snaps in the spring because Adrian missed all that spring. And then Adrian started to take more and more reps. But when Will get a chance to go against the first team defense, I saw some of those tight window throws. Once again, they're practice. But I saw some of those tight window throws. And more importantly, I saw a kid gaining confidence in his ability and gaining confidence in what he was seeing pre-snap was matching what he was seeing post-snap. And that's a big football thing for a quarterback to say, what I'm seeing, and then the ball snap, yep, it's staying true to what I know and what my film studies told me. And then he did. He just ripped it. And I thought that was the thing that I would tell you why I thought he was the most improved player, because he had no hesitation. He just said, it's there and I'm ripping it. And I look at the TCU game as one thing, but then I look at the Baylor game, and that's when it really showed up to me of the anticipation on a couple throws to Ben Sennett. We're like, holy cow, that is a tight window, and you found a way to knife it in there, but you had confidence and belief in yourself and just played fearless and ripped it.
Do you watch Ben Sennett's development kind of with almost a fatherly thing? I mean, he comes out of Iowa. He's really good, Chris. I mean, he's amazing. He's NFL quality, and he just seems to be getting better.
Yeah, Will Howard and Ben are really good friends, yeah. And I always tell Will, I said, it's these Waterloo, Iowa guys. You got to be careful of them. They're kind of scary talented, and he always says, well, you couldn't have been that way. We laugh about it and stuff, but he was a tremendous athlete when he got here. He just was undersized, and then all of a sudden he started to get bigger, started to get stronger. He's always been able to run, but the same thing of getting that confidence. And I would tell you, when the light turned on for him was in the first half of the Oklahoma game. When he caught some seam balls, when you know you're going to get hit and you know you're going to get stroked, and instead he runs through some of those tackles and he'd carry two or three guys. And I'm like, that's what that kid needed. We thought he could do it. We believed he'd do it. I don't know if Ben thought he could, and all of a sudden he had some success and it took off. And I see a guy that's playing with so much confidence, that has also got so much more in him than what he ended up doing last year. I thought he had a great last half of the year, maybe last three quarters of the year. But I think there's more in Ben as well. And we've got to find some different ways creatively to get him the football, because I think he's a tremendous tight end. I think he's a really good fullback type guy. He might be one of our top receivers too. I mean, we can flex him out and he could be a wide receiver because he's a mismatch. It'll be fun to watch what Colin does this year to try to find ways to get him the ball. But it's been fun to watch the evolution of how he's progressed and grown and gotten better and better.
In the course of developing schemes, you mentioned need to find Ben other ways to get the ball. How much do coaches steal? Does Colin put in the Chiefs tapes and look at how they use Travis Kelce, even though different athlete a little bit, but still they use him so much creativity in how they go about their offense with him.
Everybody's stealing stuff from everybody. That's what we do. And there's some unique individual ideas that our coaches come up with. Then, with our Clint Brown and Josh Buford, some of our analysts and QCs that are watching things. Maybe they're watching from a game that is a breakdown game, and we're watching something from somebody else. But then we try to, just fit it into what we do as a scheme. I agree. When you get a kid like Ben, you got to see what they've done with Kelce and what they've done with some of the other tight ends that are productive in the NFL. But I know we did that a lot with Deuce Vaughn. Let's see how people have used different running backs, whether Alvin Kamara to other guys in the league where they have a skill set of catching the ball as well as running the ball. And a lot of people are stealing ideas all the time, but that's keeping it fresh for our players too, especially when you can show a highlight of an NFL kid. That piques their interest all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Deuce, what can you say? He's been with you since the start. He's just been, early on at least, amazing, an amazing kid, amazing locker room person. But, boy, what he did on the field, and so humble.
Yeah.
Did you steal any DNA to clone him?
I wish.
Did his parents let you do that? Just run it over to Vet Med.
Wouldn't that be good? It's hard to replace a Deuce Vaughn. We're going to do it by committee a little bit this year. We feel like we have some talented running backs, but the heart of that kid. The thing that we talked about this, and I've visited with different media people about it, the durability of him is what somewhat amazed me, until if you could follow that kid from the time he got here on Sunday morning after a game through a Friday night before he went to bed, I've never seen a kid work on his body so much. Whether it's nutrition, hydration, supplements, to Normatex, to cold tubs, to stretching, what he did every day to make sure that his body was as fresh as it could be. Because what you guys saw on Saturdays, we saw every Monday, Tuesday, mm-hmm. Wednesday, Thursday, because the kid practiced that way. And those cuts that you'd see, I was seeing him on a Tuesday. I'd see him on a Wednesday. He would set people up in the secondary, whether it be scout team or whether it be against a good versus good period, because he worked at his craft nonstop. And he always bounced back the next day because he did an unbelievable job of taking care of his body.
Yeah, I have no doubt he's going to stay in the league a while. I don't care what the metrics are, the sizes. He's going to be in the league a long time because he can do so much helping you out. Special teams, yep. As a specialty back, but also in your locker room. I think that might be his biggest loss to the program. It's just his presence is gone and that example he set.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the fact that he walked the walk and he talked the talk, and he was a humble kid, you're right. But he would call guys out. I mean, that was one thing about it, is, and you couldn't say, well, you're not doing that. He would never tell a kid to do something he wasn't doing. And you're right. That's where I think he's going to have a double-digit career in the NFL is, whether it's his durability, whether it's his football IQ. The kid is so smart football-wise that he doesn't have to take those big shots either. He does a great job of protecting himself.
Before we move on to some other topics, there's one more kid I want to talk about. He's turned into probably my favorite kid on your team because he refuses to leave, it turns out. We thought Daniel Green was going to leave after the Texas loss 2 years ago, and he stuck around. Yeah. And then talking to him after the Sugar Bowl, it sure felt like he was saying goodbye, and he came back for his COVID year. I've never seen a young man evolve personally the way Daniel has and the type of person and player he's turned into over the course of his K-State career. I'm really proud to know him because he's a tremendous young man, at least from my point of view.
Yep. Maturity. An example for so many kids to look up to, that he's had some success. He's had a bunch of adversity, but he keeps fighting and keeps coming back. And I'm with you. After the Sugar Bowl, I gave him a hug and told him I'd do anything I could to help him, and was rooting for him and know he had a place in the league, whether he was drafted or whether he was a free agent, that good things happen to good people. And I don't know where I was. It was about the January 10th, 12th, somewhere in there, where I knew that it was down to the last day or two that you had to declare. But we were also starting school in another week, and he called me and he just said, "Hey, coach, I'm getting some reports. I don't know where I'm going to be at. I know I was injured most of last year. What would you think about me coming back?" Well, I stopped the car. I had to pull over because I would have not concentrated on the road. I pulled over and I said, "Daniel, that'd be the greatest post-Christmas present I could ask for you to come back. Not only what you do on the field, but more importantly, what you do off the field in our locker room, helping young people that have come from, it's not like you're from Kansas City, you're from Oregon. I mean, you've come from a long ways, and that's the thing that I'm so impressed with all of our six-year guys. There's so many six-year guys that have that opportunity to play one more year. It's a COVID year or whatever. Let's go do it in my hometown. Let's go do it somewhere else. But those kids, and Daniel's a big part of that. No, I've got unfinished business here at Kansas State, and I have a legacy at Kansas State, and I want to keep building on that legacy. And that's what he's done on the field, off the field. And if we can, pray for him that he stays healthy, yep, that kid's going to have an all Big 12, all American type year.
Yeah, I just feel like he had such an injury riddled, limited season. And even when he was playing through injuries, he wasn't 100%. You could tell. I just kind of feel like he goes, "No, that's not how I'm ending my college career. I want to do it right."
I agree. And you're right. He was a shell of himself most of the year, but he just did it on guts and the fact that he needed to be out there for his guys. And he's had a really good off season, and I'm excited to see him this summer and heading into fall camp.
Hey, it's Fitz. Let's hit the pause button right here and take a little break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, let's turn our attention to this upcoming team. How good can this team be?
Well, we're not last year's team, and that's the first thing we've got to get out of our mind.
Right.
That 2022 team was special, but a lot of those guys are gone. The makeup is gone, all that stuff. We're going to learn from experiences we had in 2022, but we can't keep coming back to that. We've got to start moving forward more in all of our workouts and all that stuff. But we have a chance offensively to be pretty good. because of the offensive lineman returning, because of the quarterback returning, because of several skill guys returning. But one of the big reasons we were really good on offense last year is we did not turn the football over. And that's a huge piece that Coach Klein has always emphasized, and is you cannot turn the football over. And we were really good at that, of maintaining possession. And so that's going to be a big key to it, but as well as how can we replace that production with Deuce, with the running back position. And then on defense, we lost a lot of guys in the secondary, a lot of really good players that have had a ton of experience. And so that's the area that I feel that we've got to shore up the most in the summer and fall camp, is to build some depth so we're playing more guys. But who's going to be the Julius Brents, the Echo, the Drake Cheatham, the Josh Hayes? Who's going to be those guys and take those reps? Because those were critical reps. And then we can't forget about Ty Zentner, because Ty was a difference maker on special teams, punting the ball as well as he did, kicking the ball out of the end zone as often as he did, and then, finishing up the season as a reliable, really weapon as a field goal kicker.
It was incredible. I mean, if he doesn't step forward in the field goal game, you're not playing for a Big 12 championship.
No.
I mean, it's amazing what he did.
Yeah. And wanting that pressure. And that's why I think Ty will have success and get a chance to make the Eagles roster, is he's such a competitor. He wants the big kick. He wants the big punt on his foot.
Yeah, and his demeanor going onto the field, I'll never forget it. Just laughing. I'm like, that's what a good kicker has. That's what they have to think. Like,
yep.
Just another day.
And I'll be honest, that's why Coach True pushes the kickers, the punters, the snappers, every bit as much as the skill kids or the O-linemen in our morning runs, in the weight room, in the competition drills that we have in the indoor. Those kids have to go through it just as much as any of our skill kids or any of our linemen do, because we want those guys to say, I'm not losing this rep against this guy in this drill. And that's the kind of guy that Ty was, is he was a competitive son of a gun. You knew as well as I do when that kid went on the field that kick was going through.
Yeah. Yeah. And a pretty good athlete. I mean,
phenomenal athlete. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this season and for many reasons, but the new conference just intrigues me. I don't know what to expect from particularly UCF when they come to town, and Houston, and I'm disappointed Oklahoma's not on the schedule, but is it refreshing or just like, okay, well, we kind of had a understanding of all the teams in this conference, a base understanding, and now you bring in some new ones, and this is kind of, we got to start from scratch on these programs.
Yeah, we do have to start from scratch. We've done a lot of detailed work on self-scouting and write-ups and stuff on especially UCF and Houston, because we play those two teams, especially UCF so early. They'll have tremendous talent, the really good football team. But I'm excited about that. I'm excited for our fans to get a couple of new teams to come in here. Yeah, I think it stinks that we're not playing Oklahoma. I think it stinks that we're not playing West Virginia, because I've really gotten to enjoy the West Virginia rivalry,
right?
Because Skyler's last year, that game was like a must win for that senior class, because they had struggled to beat West Virginia dating back to their freshman and sophomore years. And then to go to Morgantown and win like we did, it's become a great football game. And I've got so much respect for Neil. But for you guys that have been around here so long, to not have Oklahoma and Kansas State on the schedule is really kind of strange. To me, it is. I can't believe what it is for you guys. But in the same respect, we know that era is over with, and I'm excited about the four teams that are coming in.
Right. I mean, I'm really fired up about the new 12 or 16 or 20, whatever it is. Do you pay any attention to all this? Because it seems like a huge distraction. I'm totally, immersed in it because it's so important to my job right now. But
yeah,
this whole conference realignment thing seems like, I'll just tell me who to play.
Well, that's your world. You have to pay attention to it. I don't. And I know what our schedule is going to be for 2023. None of us know what our schedule is going to be for 2024. Right. I mean, nobody does, because we're still waiting to see what domino is going to drop next. I pay attention to it enough to say what's going to happen with the Pac-12, but it's nothing I can worry about for the future. I think it's intriguing when you see things, but I don't know what's going to happen or if and when things are going to happen. So the only thing we can do is focus on the task at hand, and that's the 2023 schedule. And exciting that we're going to play UCF in Houston with a couple new teams coming to Manhattan.
Yeah, I just wish they'd concentrate more on my needs. No, nobody asked me.
I know it. Exactly right. Why aren't you in some of those conversations?
I would have San Diego State in the conference already, and same with UNLV. Might throw in Tulane because I love New Orleans. I'd probably ask College of Charleston to add football. See, this is, I don't know.
I don't think it's done with Fitz. I agree with you. I don't think it's done on a lot of levels in a lot of different leagues for years to come.
No.
Yeah, I don't know when it's ever going to, the carousel is going to stop. Maybe not even in my coaching lifetime. I don't know. But a lot of movement still happening and still going to happen, I believe.
Well, let me ask you this general question. It looks like we're creeping towards 320-team conferences. And as I'm finding myself conflicted here because I cover the Big 12. I've been through it all. I mean, I've been through I started with the Big 8. So I've seen every phase of this realignment. It's amazing that the Big 12 is in this position. It turns out this conference found the leadership at the right time to really right its ship. But 320-team conferences isn't good for college football. It's not, is it?
Yeah. As far as having a rivalry base, you know, it probably isn't. But it's, you know, the 12-team playoff, and I think is why that they need to do something like that. And you know as well as I do, if 12 is successful, then it's going to go to 16 or whatever it may be, because I was a part of that world in FCS and when it was 16, and then it went to 20, and then it went to 24 because of the excitement it brought to campuses and getting more and more teams involved in playoff football. And that's what I believe is going to happen when we expand here to 12, is people are going to get a taste of it and say, well, man, I don't know how 13 and 14 got out. We've got to get to 16. Yeah. Right. And it's just going to keep going. So if you're going to have that many teams in, I think it's probably wise to try to spread the games out so that it's not just five conferences. And so if it ends up being 320 team leagues, maybe you get some different competition, different evaluating tools to find out who those best 12, 14, 16, whatever it ends up being, teams are.
Interesting. Yeah, you're probably right. I'm just intrigued by it all. But let's get back to the most important things. What beach would you pick to live on?
Oh, I'm going to be in Florida. Somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'll be in South Florida for sure. That's my wife and I have spent some time down there when we can get away for brief periods of time, and whether or not that's in January or if it's in spring break, which was no fun this year because there's too many people down on the beaches, do whatever it is, just to know I'm going to have 80 to 85 degree weather would be pretty nice.
Yeah, this is a little known secret about myself. I was born in Florida. You probably can tell by my tan.
Wow.
Yeah, I was born in West Palm Beach.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And what brought you to, what would bring you up north then?
Well, my parents kidnapped me at 6 months old and moved me to a town nearby. And I'm thankful they didn't stay there, because if we had stayed in Columbia, Missouri, I'd be a total pain in the ass. Yeah. I would just not be a good person. But then we moved to Salina, Kansas, and my dad went to Northwestern, so there wasn't really a choice what school I was going to. It was going to be
so
the purple
one. So you spent six months in Florida. So
yeah, really hard time. Yeah. I really I was probably kept getting a little into the, you know, the beach life, surfing at 4 months old.
Yeah, oh, and my parents I could see you surfing.
Yeah, I can barely walk.
take a couple of boards.
Exactly.
Tie them together.
Exactly. It's just, do they have like walkers, that the equivalent of a surfboard with walkers? I don't know, but Yeah, Florida's wonderful. It does. The summers are a little bit.
Well, I'm not going to be there in the summer. No,
you're going to be one of those. You're going to go.
Oh gosh, yeah. I'm not going to be there in July and August and probably September, whether it's the heat or the hurricanes. I got to find a place a little cooler than that for sure.
And Iowa doesn't really work for that. I mean, they're a little bit north of Kansas, but it still gets that kind of agricultural humidity that just sucks.
And you know, I spent 8 years in North Dakota, but you don't know on October 1st you could get a foot of snow and you're like, what the heck am I doing here? It's time to go south, but it's only October 1st. So my wife and I haven't even had the conversation of where we'd spend the other handful of months. Starting to get to know more and more people in Kansas, so it's starting to you know, raise up as far as, well, maybe it's Kansas that will spend our other months. You know, we were here for a year or two, and then a year and then COVID hit, and I'm like, who would be around here in COVID? Well, now it's changed, and now it's a lot more things going on, and we're getting a lot more friends outside of just football, and it's been a lot of fun here the last few years.
Yeah. I was born in Florida, briefly lived in Columbia, Missouri, but I moved to Salina, Kansas at age 4. And, you know, Kansas is all I know, and they're going to – this is
I'm
where,
telling you,
where I'll live it
my, out. My kid, who's a sophomore at Kansas Wesleyan, loves Salina.
Huh.
Loves it. Tons of restaurants that he can eat at and stuff. It's been a great fit for him.
They have done a great job with my hometown. It was it was struggling. The downtown, you know, the mall wiped out the downtown, the same story of many Midwestern communities. Then time came back around where the mall got wiped out, and they've done a great job with the downtown. And Kansas Wesleyan's done a great job of reinventing itself. Yep. It's really, really impressive, their facilities. And plus, he's got a Bogey's right there. That's always good.
Exactly. He's like, why would I? I said, it's right down the street from me. You go there every day and get a tenderloin and a shake.
Yeah. I mean, then keep his weight on. Keep, you know, this is always a problem for college kids, you know, to keep that weight on. You finally settled into a coaching staff that feels permanent, and it never is, but it just feels like this is your group. And how important is that to have a group like that, that are kind of your brothers as you go to war? You all know that. I hate war analogies. I'm sorry. As you go into games, you know how everyone's going to react and handle things.
Yeah, it's. I'm very fortunate. We've for the most part kept a lot of guys around. And like right now, after each workout, a different coach is addressing the players, and all of our messaging, you know, with our four core values is consistent, but Coach Riley's going to give it different than Coach Klein, and Coach Kleinerman's going to give it different than Coach Wyatt. And the familiarity with the faces, with the stability in our program, I know is a big reason why we've been successful the last couple of years, is they're hearing maybe a different tone, but the same messaging. And I think that is so important. And just the continuity of knowing, well, this is what we do at practice, and this is what we do during recruiting, and this is what we do during an official visit, and this is what we do during camps. It makes it so much easier in my position as the head coach, knowing I don't have to be there. These guys can run it. They know exactly what we're doing and what we need to get done.
Yeah, I look at your staff and I kind of think he's a head coach. He'll be a head coach. He'll be a head coach. And that's not important either. I mean, some guys are just meant to be assistant coaches, and that's what they're really good at. And we see them get elevated to head coach, and they stink at it. But I think you've got a lot of head coaches on your staff.
Yeah, and that's why I want to get those guys out in front of our players more and more, as well as out in front of the community or out in front of donors or out in front of boosters and out in front of fans and stuff, because that's the part of the job that nobody tells you about that you have to do countless times.
Right.
And it's a huge piece to it. You know, when we go on the Catbacker tours, Colin went one time for a while and Van went last year. Those are important pieces to be able to get out in front of the people that you see every Saturday from afar.
Van seems like an important, I mean, they're all your coaches are important, but he just kind of plays this cool role on your staff. I don't know how to define it. Well, and he comes and sees us at least twice a year. Yeah.
He thinks he's cool, but he's not. and he always comes as this bravado to him. I'm like, come on, Van, you're an old man like me. So you don't have all that cachet you think you do. But I love the guy.
He's the best.
He's been the absolute world to me, moving him to the assistant head coach and giving him some different responsibilities and connecting with everybody on the staff and the support staff in the locker room. His experience has been so helpful, and his time will come, and he knows it. It's hard to get head jobs. There's not that many of them, and he's had some opportunities. But it's also got to be the right fit where you know you're going to have an administration that's going to give you a chance to succeed. Or to your point, I can just go be a head coach to be a head coach. But if I don't have a chance to succeed,
right,
then in 3 years I may be looking for another assistant's job.
Right, which brings me back to your hiring. You have taken a path that is rare, if not completely unique, and it's amazing. Looking at your resume, your first kind of full staff job at the FBS level was a head coach. You were at KU as a grad assistant, as a head coach. It's absolutely amazing, Chris.
Fitz, I don't see it that way. I do see it from your guys's, in the media's perspective, that way. And I've said this till I'm blue in the face, and you know it. You guys got tired of it when I said football is football to me. And it's still about building relationships, caring about kids, challenging people, showing people you care. Because the football part of it, other than the fact that staffs are bigger, there's a lot of really good football coaches at the lower level that probably don't get the opportunity. And I'm indebted to Gene Taylor because he saw us, meaning Riles, myself, Klainer, he saw us all work at North Dakota State and said, you know what? It can be successful down here. But I'd say the same thing about Jerome. You know, Jerome was never a head coach. Why does it work for him? Just because he's been a Power 5 or, you know, mid-major, not mid-major, but Power 5 assistant basketball coach doesn't mean it's going to work as a head coach. But I think that's where, you know, you have a guy like Gene that can see things and project things. And I think he's done a tremendous job of that, of saying, I know what fits and works at Kansas State.
Yeah, I'm in heaven right now. I've got Gene Taylor, who's a gentleman. I've got you and Jerome, who are both good men and really good coaches. I feel like we're entering a unique phase, a possibly, you know, historic phase of Kansas State athletics that might have been kicked off with your Big 12 championship. I just feel really good about K-State sports.
I do too, Fitz. I am like you. There's so much unknown for the next 3 years and what's going on in college athletics and conference realignment stuff, and which makes it probably even harder to sustain success because there's so much out there that's unknown right now of what's going to happen in the landscape of college football and realignment. And I don't know where basketball is going, but I look at our world of football. What's going to happen in the next 3 years? It'll be interesting to see, and I'm excited to have a front row seat for it.
Yeah, it really is going to be an amazing process, and I'm just glad to be covering this now as the point of view is the hunter instead of the hunted. I'm shocked the Big 12 is still alive and standing, but here we are. But you and TCU, with that great game you played in the Big 12 championship, kind of proved that TV viewers want good football. Yeah, sure, they'll follow brands around the dial, but if there's a good football game, they're going to lock in, and that's what the Big 12 typically does. There's very few ugly games in the Big 12.
No, we're as strong as I think we've ever been, and strong at the right time. And we had talked when 2021 started, basically, of we better be a part of the haves and not the have-nots if you want to continue to elevate and evolve in this ever-changing sport. And, you know, what we did in 2021, especially finishing that off the way we did, and then having the success we had in 2022, we got to continue that sustained success. And I don't want to have a great team. We want to have a great program. But I think the Big 12 is as strong as it's been since I've been here. I know that Commissioner Yormark's done a phenomenal job of bringing a bunch of teams and a bunch of entities together. And I know that a lot of it is to deal with the TV stuff, and you know more about that than I do, but I think we're at a much better place than we've been, and a strong, stable environment in our television world that hopefully continues to get bigger and better.
Okay, one final thing for you. I know you got a meeting with Gene. Gene Taylor's causing me to cut this short. It's all about Gene. It's just Gene. You think he's the boss or something. You are famous for football as football. What has been different about this level of competition for you?
How much I've had to adapt and adjust to what we did at North Dakota State in having the success and winning the championships that we did, saying, here's our brand. We're going to stick with our brand because we're always going to be better than everybody. And I still think that was the thought process coming down here. If you'd have told me in the first 3 to 4 years, I was going to totally change the defense to match what we had to face in the Big 12, going to a 4-down to 3-down, to changing a lot of the offense everybody's going to, you have to run the football to be successful, but the way we were running it and doing it from a huddle and now changing to a lot more no huddle. And that's where I've evolved more than anything as far as on the field stuff. And then the off the field stuff, sports science, it has changed my thinking. And I'm not going to get into too much because I think we're doing a lot of things at K-State that are on cutting edge. But the sports science part of dealing with athletes and getting kids to their peak performance, what we're doing at K-State, I think, is really, really special. And it happens with, you know, all of our strength staff, our nutrition staff, our athletic training staff, our recovery staff, everybody. It's been refreshing, and it's really challenged me and spun my wheels and made me better.
Oh, and there's the NIL, just that.
Exactly right.
I mean, it's an incredible development. It's changing of the whole sport. And, you know, I know you're old at 55. You're very old.
Yes.
Quite old. Keep in mind, I'm older than you. It's not easy to adjust to this really seismic shift on how you do business.
Yeah, it isn't. But there's been a lot of great things that have come out of NIL and kids that have come to Kansas State and have profited off their name, image, and likeness and profited well as taking care of teammates and taking care of family and doing it the right way. It's been, I think, pretty positive at Kansas State. I hope it stays that way because it's been really positive for the young men and women that have been able to profit off of it. But between name, image, likeness, and transfer portal, that's the evolution of football that we're always trying to stay up on and make sure that you're recruiting your kids to stay and be a part of this for 4 or 5 years, because that's the thing that has changed a little bit is you're not just recruiting off campus, you're recruiting your roster every day too. And that's by building relationships with them.
Yep, exactly. Well, I'd like to congratulate you on your incredible season, your progress you've made. I'd also like to congratulate you on you flipping me shit about the Texas TCU score is my open on SiriusXM every time I appear. So you're giving me hell is now part of my brand.
Good.
Yeah, it is. It's good. It's good
you
for me.
You need that once in a while.
And I also
want to be humble too, you know.
God, believe me, I'm married. I know. and finally, I just want to tell you that I will not be covering your game at Texas. And this really wraps back to the start of this entire discussion because basketball will be playing in Las Vegas. I have chosen Las Vegas over Austin. Sorry.
I don't blame you. I know that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And UNLV's involved, USC's involved, so you're there.
Yep. Got it. Coach, thank you much. Appreciate everything. Appreciate your friendship, and you keep kicking ass.
Appreciate it, man. Fitz, we're all praying for you all the time, so thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother. You know, when you're a young sports writer, you try to be friends with everyone. And in reality, in this business, you can't be friends with all the people you cover. It just doesn't work that way. But a certain subset of coaches or athletes with whom you deal understand your job. They get what you're having to do, and sometimes that means you ask the hard questions. None of these were the hard questions, but I do occasionally throw those at Chris Kleiman, and he handles it with grace and always gives me good, thoughtful answers. He's a quality dude. How can you not be friends with a guy like that, even if you want him to win 13, 14, 15 games a season? That's all. That's all I ask. That's it. We hope you enjoyed the Chris Kleiman interview. I've got some great guests lined up for the rest of the summer, but that's it for the opening episode of the fourth season of Life of Fitz. And remember, fellas, if you're 45 years or older, please go to your doctor and get your PSA scored. It's a simple blood test, and it is the best indicator to prostate health issues. Take care, everyone. I'll talk to you real soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.